Good morning, folks. We have got a great show for you today on the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, one of the most consequential weather events to ever strike this area, Dave. I'm Newell Norman. Dave Cohen, our WWL news director, joins us.
Still goes down as the most costly disaster in U.S. history. The National Hurricane Center estimates $125 billion in damage, 1,400 deaths as of a reanalysis of the numbers in 2023. They say that's the total. The toll it
in
took,
New Orleans, yeah, the Gulf Coast, over 1,800.
And just unbelievable that here we are today. We're here.
Yeah.
Today. And I'll never forget 20 years ago today wondering if we'd ever be here today.
No doubt about that. To give you an idea of the magnitude of this storm, 90,000 square miles were under federal disaster order for Katrina. 90,000 square, almost the size of Great Britain.
Unbelievable.
When you think about how many people were impacted, I was doing some reading over the week about the storm, picking up, you know, different bits and pieces of information that we all probably knew at one time, had seen at one time, but have forgotten, right?
We've probably forgotten more than we remember.
Yes. So we are here for the reopening of Living with Hurricanes Katrina and Beyond at the Louisiana State Museum's Presbyter Galleries, being hosted by Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, doing a great job. They are actually over at Le Petit Theater right now for a two-hour panel discussion with a great group of guests talking about the experiences, talking about the past, talking about the future as well.
Lessons learned and where we go from here. And again, it just amazes me that we have somewhere to go from here. And yes, the region has 7% less population now than it did in the year 2000 as of the census. The city of New Orleans has 21% less population now than it did before. The Mississippi Gulf Coast still struggling to finish Katrina projects, recover, and get their population back. But 20 years later, we still have something to keep building on. And right after the storm, when 80% of New Orleans was underwater, when you and your teams were rescuing literally thousands of people from rooftops, attics, trees, and everywhere else, the conversation in Washington and from some in Baton Rouge was, let's write it off, let's forget it, let's not rebuild it.
Yeah, it was very interesting, the dynamics around all of this. So let's get to our first guest.
Absolutely.
Tim Coulon, the former parish president of the parish of Jefferson, had just been out of office for a short period of time. He had taken control of the LSED, the Louisiana Stadium and Exposition District. That's the organization responsible for running not only the Dome, but the arena and several other properties as well. He joins us. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Newell and Dave. Before you ask my first question, let me digress a bit. Dave, I heard your interview this morning with my former emergency management director and close friend, Walter Maestri.
May you rest in peace.
Yes, just a great guy. And I always called him the Nash Roberts. You know, again, that name strikes familiar with us older folks, but maybe not the younger. But a good friend, good man, good public servant.
Tim, I wanted to start this morning not so much about the numbers, more about your personal perspective of when you saw the Dome for the first time, what your reaction was, and what did you contemplate at that exact moment?
Well, much like Doug Thornton outlined during one of his recent interviews, we walked through, we had the environmental suits with the double filter, and it was really, I can't adequately describe it. I think Doug said, and as I would agree, that we may never see the Dome again. We may never play another game again. And it was that kind of really emotional, impactful moment that we just couldn't envision.
So at what point in time, as you're thinking about all of these things, you're looking at the structure, you I guess there's a million things going through your head, that you decided, well, we got to take the first step towards rebuilding this facility, and this is what we're going to do. Describe that defining moment for us.
Well, if you recall, we actually looked at alternative location for a new stadium, thinking that we may never rebuild. But after we did some very, very serious engineering assessments, there was a substantial decision made by our governor, and I give her the courage award, as I've said all week. She made a decision to rebuild the dome, to grant us, by executive order, great latitude in the bidding process to rebuild the dome. And that was the, the aha moment that led to us to begin the process.
And the dominoes had to fall just right. And I remember talking to you about this back then, Tim, when you jumped out of the fire of overseeing Jefferson Parish right before Katrina, right into the boiling gumbo pot that became the Superdome. You went from one to another, and I remember asking you, but what if the Saints don't come back? What if the NFL doesn't come back? What if the people don't come back? You all are making a decision to rebuild the Superdome at a time when we had no idea if there would be anybody to go into that building, to play in that building, to watch and celebrate in that building ever again.
Well, that was not only a challenge for us on the public side, but for Mr. Benson and the NFL. And to the credit and the kudos to Commissioner Tagliabue, he formed an NFL advisory committee. We met many, many times with Mr. Benson and the commissioner to develop a strategy on how to provide 2005 season and also satisfy the need for us to rebuild the dome and get it some assurance that we would return in 2006.
What was that like? I mean, you know, when you first heard that they were considering the possibility of leaving, and I know what the rest of the city, what it was like, they were angry. They were upset. They felt violated.
They were very much violated. And again, to Dave's point, they were very concerned about if there would be a population base to support. They were worried about their players, the safety of the players, housing, and so forth. So around September 2nd, they moved to San Antonio for their facility for practice. And then, of course, we met with the Chancellor, Sean O'Keefe, who I hold in high esteem, to play a series of games. Yeah, at LSU. I'm sorry. Thank you. At LSU, and typically the NFL and the college football don't always get along very well, but the commissioner and the chancellor and the governor, and after some persuasion, Mr. Benson agreed, and I think there were a couple of moments there that we still had to deal with some legal issues and so forth, but it all came into place.
So can you describe your immediate reaction? I mean, were you upset? I mean, there are a lot of people very upset.
Well, there were a lot of people upset, Newell, if you remember, about the fact that we made the return of the Saints and the Superdome a priority, you know, considering the magnitude of the damage and personal loss. So that was really, as I said, a real positive decision on the part of the governor, but also criticized. Going forward, yes, it was. It was a lot of emotional moments on the part of the Saints, on the part of the leadership of the LSED, the state. It all came together after a period of time, and I think that we now see the fruits of the labor. I can't imagine the city and the region without a Superdome and without a Saints team.
And Tim, just to put it in context, the reason I asked you that question is that true leaders, as they go through a crisis, they manage their emotions. And that's what I wanted to draw out of you, because I think under your leadership, as it relates to being chairman of the LSED, I don't think a lot of this would have got accomplished. You brought to that particular position at that point in time the benefit of the experiences that you had in parish government for all those years, as well as your leadership as a parish president through a number of years. And but for you, I'm not so sure a lot of other chairmen would have been able to hold it together. You did. And I want to publicly thank you for that. I think a lot of folks take a lot of credit for a lot of things, and they forget about the role that the LSED actually played and the role that you played, quite frankly, because you had a great relationship with Governor Kathleen Blanco, and I'm sure there were some very interesting conversations, I would say, over a period of time in making that call.
Well, thank you for saying that, Bill. And there's no doubt you and I had a great working relationship past, and I've watched you grow and mature and be our sheriff and also be the leader that you are now. But you're absolutely right. So when I look at the team we had, and of course, kudos to Doug and Doug Thornton, SMG at the time, and his staff. I mean, every step of the way, we were all engaged on a daily basis. In fact, I was working at Adams & Reese at the time. I left my position. I've always been a regional thinker. I think we're a much better region with a strong New Orleans. I still believe that. And I do believe that over a period of time, and it kind of manifested itself on the day we opened up. On September 25th, Governor Blanco sponsored a lunch for every workman in the stadium. And it was like a labor of love. You know, they had a mission, and certainly they got paid, but their mission was far greater than just finishing up the dome. All you had to do is walk on Poydras Street starting at 7:30 in the morning, and you saw the euphoria of people returning and looking forward to some semblance of normalcy. And that was the Saints, and of course the victory. The victory added so much to it. It was incredible.
You know, you make a really good point, Tim, that and Newell as well, that you had to put your neck on the line and you had to make some very risky decisions to fight to get federal money, state money, NFL money, Saints money, and everything else it took to rebuild the Superdome at a time when we were still worried about rebuilding homes, rebuilding hospitals, rebuilding police stations, and the list goes on and on and on. And there were very vocal critics, and I think everybody at some level questioned, are we on the right path? And you and the team stood up and said, yes, we are. And I don't think anyone can argue now successfully that reopening the Superdome, bringing the Saints back, and letting 80,000 people into that building and hundreds of thousands more displaced across the country experience what it was like to have some normalcy and to feel like there was hope, and that we had hope springing from the floodwaters, and that if the Saints could come back and dedicate and commit themselves to rebuilding the community and rebuilding their team, and we could all enjoy those 3 hours together, that then I think many who didn't believe before that did believe New Orleans could return and people could return.
Well said, Dave. I think you're right on target. You guys, right before you got started, we talked about the national government, the legislature that thought we should never rebuild. We faced a lot of challenges beyond the dome, and we overcame them. And kudos to the resiliency of our city, our region, and our state.
Symbols are important.
No.
Yes.
No doubt. Absolutely. And here we are 20 years later. Mardi Gras is twice the size as it was before Katrina. The Dome has been renovated twice now in 20 years.
And hosted two Super Bowls.
And I say this all the time. The Saints, from a branding standpoint, and what the NFL did when they came to this city, U2 and
Green Day,
thank you, senior moment, Green Day, U2, turned out to be a branding genius. They may be one of the luckiest NFL organizations in the history of the NFL, quite frankly, because they've been the beneficiary of a lot of the emotion and the drive that came with trying to rebuild the rebirth of this area that we call home.
Tim, thank you so much.
No doubt.
Thank you for being a part. Anything else?
Thank you for going through this entire week. It's brought back some memories, and good and bad, but it's all positive. It's all good.
Thank you, Tim. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Tim Coulon, former chairman of the Louisiana Stadium and Exposition District. We will be right back. We're broadcasting live from the Presbyter, right? And the reopening of Living with Hurricanes, Katrina and Beyond at the Louisiana State Museum here at the Presbyter. You can experience stunning visuals, exhibits, and powerful stories of survival. We'll be right back. And folks, if you're looking for something to do this afternoon, admission is free here at the Presbyter for the reopening of Living with Hurricanes, Katrina and Beyond at the Louisiana State Museum here at Presbyter Galleries. You'll really enjoy it. Our next guest, John Georges, president of, what are you? The chairman of the board of Georges Enterprises, the owner of seven newspapers? Eight newspapers?
My son's president now, yeah. So I'm a has-been.
You're president of the Georges Travel Agency
yeah.
now?
I feel like you and I are the last two people in town this weekend. Everybody's gone for their last weekend vacations.
No, but seriously, John. John is Imperial Trading Company in Elmwood. He was around during the event of Katrina. We crossed paths many times during that period of time. He was in town, out of town. But it's good to have you. Let's start with your first memory. What do you recall?
Well, I think. It's hard to go back to that day. Just the frame is that our lives were so simple back then. We were, had one business in Elmwood and one on Airline, and nobody knew who I was, and trying to make it and look forward to going to Pass Christiane on the weekends, and that was my life. And then a storm hits, and I think people went to work. People just went into action, and to me, it's, pray for the victims of the storm, but I really reflect on the heroes of that storm. And I wasn't a hero, but I was a witness to the heroes and people in my own organization that brought it back, brought other companies back, the obviously the Navy, the Coast Guard. But the real shining group for me as a Jefferson Parish business and an Orleans Parish resident was the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office and its leadership. Newell, you were there. Some of your controller was there. But the guys that you had on the street, the deputies, I got a call Wednesday, Thursday from your head of laser that I grew up with, Robbie Woods. And he said, the stores are closing. People are leaving town. We need to provide supplies for the deputies that are going to be positioned around the area. So they entered our warehouse in Elmwood, which is, it's like a Walmart or a Sam's Club. And eventually they end up headquartering at Sam's. But we provided food, water, beverages, Gatorade to the deputies, and I know you positioned them at the Galleria, Lakeside. People probably on the causeway overpasses. And so that's kind of the beginning for me, and then I was in hourly contact with your people. We were in constant conversation. They were at work, I would say Thursday, maybe 5 days before the real problem hit. And I think by the time the storm hit, they were already fatigued. And those were all my friends. Some of them I called Sheriff LaPinta.
And all that started when the track was still for the Florida Panhandle, not for New Orleans yet.
Yeah.
Just in case.
But somebody said Betsy did that. So none of us, I'm not that old, but we were the young guys back then.
You notice how you dropped that
yes.
in.
Yeah, several times.
I was going to say I was alive during Betsy, and we know what that was like. But, no, so when it turned, I think the sheriff's office was really the first organization. I think some of the others were trying to reach. They were trying to reach Nash Roberts. I don't even know if people know who that is anymore. Everyone was trying to get the inside information. And I think we were, you were asking Tim Coulon if he was steady hand and calm. There were some real steady hands, and those are the ones that got us through it. And the people that you and the people that reported to you were the ones that I interacted with the most.
You're downplaying, you said you're not a hero, but there are lots and lots of heroes in this. If you fed and supplied the heroes, you're a hero. If you and your businesses decided to come back after the devastation, and you not only came back, but you grew and you invested in this community, that takes heroic effort, too. It takes hundreds and hundreds of thousands of heroes
to
be where we are today.
There's so many, and the story's not mine. But I'm fortunately a storyteller now, because now I own the newspaper, the media outlets. I own a historic restaurant, Galatoire's. There's a lot of conversation. There are a lot of reasons people came back. We rebuilt schools. We rebuilt churches. Without a church or a school, people weren't coming back. We had friends making decisions for weeks. We had to coax our employees to come back to operate our business. We had one business, one roof, and we lost it in Katrina. So we went to zero from $400 million of sales, and now we doubled down. Now we're a $3 billion operation, 7 distribution centers. So the end of the story is great. But looking back, life was beautiful. We saved a city, and New Orleans was worth saving.
And that took heroes at all levels.
As you look at all that went on, you know, there are a couple of defining moments where things started to turn, where it was no longer this sense of despair, but this sense of hope and a sense of achievement.
Well, I like to say that I was always the youngest guy in every room, so I was there, but I wasn't in charge. And I witnessed it, but there was a group, the head of the business council, Jimmy Reese, and Billy Monteleon, myself, and another gentleman. We met in Aspen, Colorado on Monday, and reached out to the White House, and it may have been
the
Sunday.
The day of landfall.
Yeah, it may have been Sunday. And we reached the White House, and so there's a story there, and actually the buses that you saw that arrived at the convention center were ordered from that room. It was not the United States government. It was civilians, private citizens. And those buses that General Honoré directed the convention center were meant to the Monteleon Hotel to evacuate his house, his guests. He called the casino. But we were sitting there coming up with every idea. And then later on, there was a meeting in Dallas of a larger group, bigger civic group. I almost didn't make the cut, even though I had to heavy lift to getting Ray Nagin to show up because he didn't want to go to this meeting. And that was a meeting where some real strategic planning began. Scott Cowan at Tulane. It was an emotionally charged reunion when you first see people. And, of course, the mayor, you know, he's a guy that I knew. I knew the Cox Cable mayor. I knew the Brass Hockey mayor. I knew the Reform mayor. I didn't know this new person that just snapped during Katrina, and he just couldn't get it. And I finally said in front of the whole group, he said, how am I supposed to get over this, what I witnessed? Now, to him, it was a city that no one was helping, but he didn't understand, because I know the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, which Newell's, sometimes he was tough on the budget, but he allowed them to buy 20 high water Army surplus vehicles before the storm, a helicopter. So you had a sheriff's office with 20 high water vehicles, a helicopter, and because they had a helicopter, other sheriffs from other states and other places came in, and they did coordinated rescues, and they were rescuing everything that needed to be rescued, if you can imagine what I'm saying. And so we knew they were dropping food. I knew they were dropping on overpasses. They were dropping on homes. They were picking people up in Lakeview, in Ninth Ward. I spoke to my friend Woods, and he said yesterday, he said hundreds of aircraft, hundreds, Coast Guard, Navy, Pensacola, Belche, they were coming from everywhere. And, of course, Newell had to be the traffic cop, because they were putting refugees in areas that there was no health care, no other system. FEMA was measuring tire lengths on buses. They were slowing the impeding. There was a lot of tense moments. But I witnessed it all. I wasn't doing it, even though I had my moments. My business partner, He hated Harry Lee's call for what's today called the Cajun Navy, which began with that WWL radio call where they were told to go to Sam's Club, and he rescued pets and people.
And that was the birth of the Cajun Navy. And Newell doesn't like to take a lot of the credit, but he was there. He was overseeing them launching these boats from the Causeway Traffic Circle, from the flooded I-10, into all these communities. Yeah. And that effort saved literally thousands of people. By some estimates, more than 10,000 people.
Yeah, and look, even Newell and I, we've probably never sat around and talked about it. It's hard to talk about. Real heroes, like my father, never talked about World War II. It's very hard. And then when you see modern-day media get it wrong, and I want to say the national media because I have a bias there, and I try to correct every Republican legislature that you're talking about the national media. But back to the Nagin meeting, which he has a warped interpretation of the meeting because he went in with a little bias. He said, how am I supposed to get over what I saw of all that water and MREs and things staged at Zephyr, which was a dry venue, and the helicopters were taking it from there into Orleans? And I said to him, just like my father got over World War II, the tempo of the meeting changed. The group became very empathetic. Gary Solomon, the businessman, was there. He was a friend of Ray's. We walked him through it. And then I think Scott Cowan emerged as the guy who really helped organize the, which later became all these different efforts. The governor had hers, the mayor had his, politics was at play.
We've been talking a lot today, Newell, about dominoes falling just right. And you bring up Scott Cowan and Tulane. And I think a lot of people forget, Tulane opened in September. That they opened and welcomed students back. And I remember going there and interviewing these freshmen moving into residence halls. And there was nothing in Uptown New Orleans then. Not a single business open. Not a single person had returned. There was nowhere to go, nothing to do, and it felt like a vast wasteland. But there was this glimmering gem in the middle of it all. Tulane was reopening. And just
and
like the Superdome reopening.
60% underwater. As yeah. well. There yeah. was a dry part, but there was also the part near Claiborne that was underwater.
Right. And they're reopening. And yeah. just like we talked about the importance of the Superdome being a symbol of hope and recovery, you can't discount opening Tulane at a time when many people thought they may never come back to New Orleans. That was a signal people can come back.
Well, I could tell you there, I called the Sheriff of Jefferson, Lupinto, and I said, what are you doing for your people, and how many current sheriff's office employees were there in Katrina? He said, I'll call you back. It's 300 people out of 1,400 of their employees. So there's still 300 heroes, and they weren't just sheriff's deputies. They were clerks. They were.
That was a whole bunch of people. I mean,
people around the sheriff.
I appreciate the comments you made about me, but I had folks who didn't have houses, didn't have their families out of town. They're having to work. Mom's calling, you know, wanting to know what's going to happen with the school, the this, the that. They never missed a day. They never abandoned their post. They lived for the moment. They did exactly what they had to do.
They sent them home after 12 hours, and they would come back. They wouldn't wait. They wanted to be.
Yeah, and that you saw that over and over and over again. And then, as you pointed out, civilian aircraft that came in, when I talked to you the other day, we both recall this one gentleman from Tennessee that had a couple of helicopters came down here, and this guy, he would land in areas to rescue people that nobody would do, and literally no one,
because it was too risky, but he thought it was worth the risk.
Former military helicopter pilot. I mean,
he's from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
There's another guy from Arizona or something.
Another guy from Arizona that came down. It was absolutely amazing.
I'll tell you another.
They paid for all their fuel, everything.
I'll tell you.
We got to get a break, and we'll come right back. We're visiting with John Georges. We're here at the Presbyter for the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Stay with us, folks.
And we're talking with John Georges, who heavily invested in this community in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, and was part of the renaissance of Southeast Louisiana and making sure that there was something to come back to. Looking back at it and all those dominoes we talked about that had to fall just right so that we could be here today 20 years later, how do you feel about those billions in investment and how the future looks? Because we just heard in the news that we're losing population now, not gaining, that we plateaued and now it's falling. What does the future look like 20 years after Katrina?
Well, look, as disappointed as I was at the slow response those 3 days, once they came, it was great. I mean, George Bush passed billions and billions of dollars in levee protection.
$15 billion.
Yeah, $15 billion, and you should go see his museum and Presidential Library in Dallas. But I think it began for me when, like Barry Kern said, we're going to have Mardi Gras in 6 months. Could you imagine
there's
Mardi
still
Gras?
Water. There's still water in the city, and we're talking about Mardi Gras.
And there were people with him, outside people, some of his clients, like Universal Studios, who said, we will help keep the Kern organization going until the New Orleans people can afford to pay for Mardi Gras. So there was Mardi Gras was the first, I think, beginning positive thing. Of course, obviously the Superdome building Saints. But for me, we doubled down on the city. We had people that couldn't come back. We had people that didn't come back. But those of us that came back have been completely blessed. And if you talk about the future, I was the youngest guy in the room in those days. Now I'm not the youngest guy in the room, but there were
you
a lot.
You can say it. You're the oldest guy in the room.
Sometimes. but the truth is, when I look around the leadership of our metro area, the people running the convention center are young people. Steve Watson running the World War II Museum, GNO Inc., Michael Heck, Jefferson Parish leadership, state government with the President of the Senate, Cameron Henry. When I look at Steve Scalise, who, if you go back and realize, he was able to pass the levy protection and convince the rest. That was voted down in the legislature first. They went back and realized. So we look at our Speaker, Mike Johnson, the next mayor's race, there are young people running. I think I'm very hopeful in the future. But if you don't think elections matter, just look at Katrina. And the ones that were good, like Harry Lee, and got elected, of course, he left a legacy that Newell left, and then now we have Lumpinto. So I'm very optimistic on our future. But I can tell you, they predicted we would be smaller. We are smaller. But I think we're strong, we're committed, and I think we have a vision. And our governor seems to want to help New Orleans, even though no one's didn't really vote for him. I think that's admirable, an opportunity for us. So, WWO Radio strong, Georgia's media, and our things are strong, and can't say the same about other cities. Look at Atlanta. They just lost their daily newspaper to digital. So, but I'm appreciative to be here, and we just need to win another Super Bowl, don't you think?
Yeah.
that would be good.
Two would be nice, too.
Yeah, well.
We could follow into KC footsteps, but yeah.
The only thing I want to say is we can't go back to the same old mistakes.
Right.
And we keep doing that, and we just can't do that. We have to learn from our mistakes.
It feels like there have been fits and starts. Like we have advanced and we've gotten a first down, but then we end up punting again.
Yeah,
and
that we get in the red zone and we just can't. Look, we had Super Bowl, we had Taylor Swift, we had car dealer conventions, our tourism was on the board, and then all of a sudden the economy, inflation sets us back a little.
And that speaks to the importance of putting the right people in the right places.
No doubt.
Well,
local elections truly matter. John Georges, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today. We know that you're incredibly busy, and have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us. We are at the Presbyter for the grand reopening of Living with Hurricanes Katrina and Beyond at the Presbyter of the Louisiana State Museum. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. I'm Newell Norman. Dave Cohen joins me, WWL News Director. David, I love these interviews because you get these little snippets, these details of certain things that happen at certain times. And you kind of, I know especially for you, because you've conducted a number of interviews that are on our website that they can get.
Including an interview with you, which will be part of our special at 7 o'clock tonight, where I made Newell tell me about some of what happened and some of the good, some of the bad, and some of the very important decisions that were made. And I think that's a great theme that we're hearing now, that the right people had to make the right decisions at the right time. You made many right decisions, which we talk about in the podcast on our website and in the show tonight. But hearing John talk about, and we even talked off the air about some meetings that happened, you know, we talk about the meeting where he was meeting with the mayor and had to convince the mayor that we could move forward and would move forward. We talked earlier with Tim Coulon about some of the meetings when the NFL commissioner, Paul Tagliabue, came to town and had to decide, would the NFL invest in, bank on, and trust that New Orleans was coming back and all but force the Saints to come back from San Antonio to New Orleans? And were it not for the people in that meeting that said the right things at the right time and made the right commitments to Paul Tagliabue, the Saints would not have come back. So there's, you know, always important meetings.
You know what's interesting, too, is the different perspectives of that meeting, because we've had some folks that were, someone that was in that meeting that said to Tagliabue, you know, he was asking him, why should we come back? And when it got to him, he said, well, you know exactly what you're going to do. Why don't you tell us?
You wouldn't be here if you didn't. But what Tagliabue did in his brilliance in that meeting was he got everyone to commit. He got Barry Kern, or Blaine Kern at the time, to say, yes, there will be a Mardi Gras. He got the bankers in New Orleans to say, yes, there will be investment in the city. He got everybody on board to agree that we were all pulling in the same direction and recognizing the importance of that. And amongst those very important decisions, reopening the Superdome, bringing the Saints back as a symbol of hope and of the rising hope coming out of the floodwaters.
You know, what's interesting is that if you think about a community, all the activities, I've learned a lot actually through this process of a lot of things happening in each little silo of the community that needed to happen, because that's what makes a community.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back when we come back after the top of the hour break. We will visit with Jane Cooper, French Quarter Management District, as well as Kelly Schultz, Senior VP of Communications and PR with New Orleans and Company. So stay with us. I'm Newell Norman. He's Dave Cohen. We'll be right back. Stay with us.